Well, hello everyone. It's good to be together in spirit, gathering from wherever we are and gathering around the Word of God. And a special welcome to you if you're joining, perhaps you're not part of the church normally, but you're dipping in, as I know many people are at the moment in this time of lockdown and online services. It's great to have you. We're going to look at the topic of the Holy Spirit this morning. And before we do, let's just take a moment to pray. Father, thank you for your word and thank you that you want to speak to each and every one of us today. We really pray now that your Holy Spirit would come and be not just the one that we're learning about, but the one who helps us to learn and to understand and to put into practice your word. Holy Spirit, come and make your presence known to us all now, wherever we are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is one of a series of sermons as we look at the Evangelical Alliance Basis of Faith. We're an evangelical church, and the Evangelical Alliance that we're part of has set out a series of core beliefs that all Evangelical Alliance churches share, and we're one of those churches. So it was thought it would be a great idea if we look at what it is that we believe and what some of these things mean to us. Evangelical Alliance, of course, is many different churches, many different traditions and ways of worshipping, but all united around certain things that we hold to together. And this doctrine of the Holy Spirit is one of them. And it says this: we believe in the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, who leads us to repentance, unites us with Christ through new birth, empowers our discipleship, and enables our witness. Well, I thought that was a bit long for a sermon title, to be honest, so I've gone with "We believe in the Holy Spirit" as my title. This is a phrase taken from a much earlier attempt to define some beliefs that Christians could unite around. It's called the Apostles' Creed. Many of you will know it, and it says, when it gets to the bit about the Holy Spirit, it just says, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Short, sweet, simple. But what does it mean? I grew up in an Anglican church when I was very young, and I was part of a church choir, and I used to go along every Sunday and do the services. In fact, it was so long ago, we said, "I believe in the Holy Ghost," when we were reciting the creed. I recited it every Sunday. I can't honestly say I had much of an idea what it was we were talking about. And I think that confusion about the Holy Spirit actually isn't uncommon, even among Christians. We don't always have very clear teaching on the Holy Spirit, perhaps, or perhaps we don't talk about the Holy Spirit that often, some churches perhaps more than others. And many people have questions. And even in this passage, it's interesting that the disciples seem to be finding it hard to take in what Jesus is trying to tell them. They've got questions. They keep asking him things. They don't seem to get it. They're confused. And I find it really encouraging that it's normal for disciples of Jesus to have questions and to be confused and to not quite get it. And I love the fact that in this passage, Jesus just continues very patiently to try to help them to understand what he's saying and to explain it to them. He's not impatient with their questions. And I think the same is true today. Jesus is not impatient with us if we have questions about what we believe and what he really means. So there's lots of things we could say about the Holy Spirit. I've got a short time this morning. We can't go through them all. On the Alpha course that we've been doing, an Alpha course in Panarath recently, we had a whole day together to look at the topic of the Holy Spirit. And that was the short version. Often they take a weekend. So we haven't got a weekend. We've just got a few minutes. So I'd like to focus on three things that Jesus says in these passages that we've heard read for us by Beth earlier on, that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, what he does, and a little bit about who he is. The first is that Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the helper. He's the helper. That's the word used in the Good News Bible, which is the one Beth was reading. Other translations say the advocate, the counsellor, the comforter, if you've got the King James Version. John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counsellor to be with you forever. So the reason different translations use different words is the Greek word is parakletos, the paraclete. Not the parakeet, that's something else, the paraclete. And there's really no direct equivalent in English. It really means one who's called alongside. And in the New Testament world, if you were taken to court, you'd take a lawyer with you. You'd call a lawyer alongside to go to court with you, to help you, and to speak on your behalf. He'd be your advocate and your helper, your counsellor. If a ship was in trouble in the ancient world and started to sink, they'd call another ship that would come alongside and lash itself to them and try and help them get back to port. That other ship would be called the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside to help and to guide. And I really like that picture that's in that word of the Holy Spirit coming alongside us, drawing alongside to help, to encourage, to speak on our behalf, to be our counsellor and our comforter. Actually, it reminds me of the passage that John spoke about a few weeks ago where two disciples are walking along the road to Emmaus. And it says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. And today we don't have the risen Lord Jesus physically present as they did, but we have the Holy Spirit coming alongside and walking with us to help us and to guide us. And in that passage, of course, you remember Jesus was explaining to them about the things that they were puzzled about. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us today. Or the passage where the disciples are together and the doors are locked out of fear of what they might face. In John 20, verse 19, it says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. The disciples were in lockdown, but it didn't make any difference to Jesus. He was still able to come alongside. And today, it's not the risen physical Lord Jesus. He's in heaven now, but it's the Spirit of Jesus coming alongside us, even in lockdown, even though the doors are locked, even though some of us might be a bit fearful of what's going on at the moment. Jesus is able to come and say, peace be with you. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's not an impersonal force. He's not like the force in Star Wars. He's not an it. He's a person. He's the Spirit of Jesus, as it says in Acts 16, verse 7. He's the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, 9. He's the Spirit of the Son, in Galatians 4, 6. If you like, he's Jesus' other self. He's Jesus being present with us, not physically, but by his Spirit. The physical, risen Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus who can be present with us at any time and in any place. I don't know how you're doing with lockdown. I think many people are finding quite stressful, and there's a bit of a stress and strain to it, and we're wondering how long it's going to go on for. Not able to meet up with fellow Christians except through Zoom or something like that. But even though the doors are locked, the Holy Spirit is the one through whom Jesus is present with us all who believe in him. The one who draws alongside, our helper, our advocate. So he's our helper. The second thing that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit is that he is the Spirit of truth. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I find it very interesting that we live in a society that's really interested actually in spirituality and spiritual things, and at the same time very skeptical about truth and what is true, the idea of truth, especially when it comes to matters of faith. And if you talk to people about spiritual things, there's a real interest in, let's say, it's meditation or healing or spiritual experiences of different kinds. But as soon as you start talking about truth, it's another matter. That's much less appealing. It's maybe it seems too narrow, too confining. Many people think it's about rules and dogma and so on. As if spirituality and truth are somehow opposed to each other. Actually, Jesus here says, no, it's quite the reverse. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In John 14, 26, he says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Now, as we've seen, the disciples are struggling. They've got lots of questions. In chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus says, well, I've much more to say to you, but it's more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. We may have lots of questions and doubts from time to time, but the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us the truth and helps us to understand what Jesus is saying and to deal with some of those questions. I remember when I was first a Christian, I had a Gideon New Testament that I'd been given at school a few years earlier, and I occasionally looked at this book over the years and opened it up and had a bit of a read. Didn't seem particularly appealing, seemed to be very strange, seemed to start with a long list of unpronounceable names, everybody begatting everyone else. I didn't quite know what that was anyway. It was all a bit dull and strange. When I became a Christian, I picked up the same book, the very same book, and the words would leap off the page. It was really exciting. I couldn't put it down. Page after page of the most amazing things, as if God himself was speaking directly into my life. The most exciting and gripping book in the world. Of course, it wasn't the book that had changed. It was me that had changed. The Holy Spirit was changing me and enabling me to understand and come alive to the scriptures. But the Holy Spirit is not just a teacher of the truth. In chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps us to enter into the truth that we're reading, to live it out in our own lives, so that it becomes real for us, so that we're living lives that are true, and not just reading stuff that we think is true. It's no coincidence, I think, that Jesus starts this teaching by saying, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. It's not enough, is it, to understand Jesus' teaching and to hear his voice, that's wonderful. But we need to obey it if we're hearing what Jesus is saying. We need to put what Jesus is saying into practice. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to do that. In Jeremiah 31, 33, it says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In our own strength, if we're trying to put into practice what Jesus is teaching, we'll fail miserably to live out that truth. I know, I've tried it many times, and I've failed miserably many times. There's only one way we can live out our lives as true disciples of Jesus, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, our helper, In my own experience, actually, it's a daily necessity. Every day I have to come before the Lord again and say, Lord, will you fill me again with your Holy Spirit? The only way I can live this day for you in truth is if you come and help me to live and obey your word. So he's our helper, he's the Spirit of truth. And finally, the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. In chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit doesn't just guide Christians into the truth. He also is the one who guides those who are not yet Christians to believe in Jesus. He testifies. It's rather like a witness in a trial. You know, they say, what did you see? And the witness has to say, yes, I saw this bloke coming out of this house. He had this bag marked swag. He looked very suspicious. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives that kind of testimony about Jesus. When people hear the good news about Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the witness. He says to them, yes, you know, this stuff that you're hearing about Jesus, it's true. I can tell you. I know. Believe me. It's been wonderful to be involved with the Alpha course in Penrath in the last few weeks. It's a shame it was interrupted by lockdown, although some of it is continuing over Zoom. It was great to meet some new people, had some really interesting chats. We all had great food that Sarah and her team got together every week for us. Watch the videos and hear the message of the gospel so clearly every week. It really is a great course. But the best thing of all about Alpha is seeing people who come in, who don't believe in Jesus, change into people who do believe in Jesus and want to follow him. And it's not the videos that do that. They're great videos. It's not the food, wonderful food. It's the Holy Spirit. We do all we can to preach the gospel and to discuss issues around faith and the Bible and so on. But it's the Holy Spirit who says to people deep in their hearts, all this stuff you're seeing, all this stuff you're hearing, actually, it's true. You really can be set free from sin. You really can be forgiven. Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. And then Jesus goes on in verse 27, and so you also must testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. It isn't just up to the Holy Spirit. It's up to the Holy Spirit and us. We testify about Jesus. We tell people about Jesus and what he's done for us. And the Holy Spirit then says to people, yes, what you're hearing is true. If you're like me, it's not easy to speak to people about Jesus. Our friends, our colleagues, we find it a bit intimidating. We find it a bit scary. What's their reaction going to be? But I find it encouraging to know that as we speak to people about Jesus, the Holy Spirit is also testifying and saying to them, listen to what you're being told here. Listen to this story. These things are true. We might not see it in the person's face or in their reaction, but usually there is something going on in their hearts, and very often people will respond. I saw a statistic the other day. 1 in 6 people would like to know about Jesus and would like to know more about our faith. That's many more than we might think. So it doesn't depend on my eloquence, thankfully. It depends on my faltering efforts to tell people about Jesus, tell them what he's done in my life. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who actually brings conviction and actually convinces them of the truth. He testifies when we testify about Jesus, so that other people can become followers of Jesus too. And that really is the best thing in the world. I wonder if we could finish just by praying together. Father, we want to thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. Thank you that the Spirit of Jesus is with each one of us now. Thank you that he's our helper, and we ask, Lord, that you would come alongside and help us. Thank you, Father, that he's the Spirit of truth. Lord, when we open the Word of God and read together, or read on our own, will you come and help us to understand the truth, understand what Jesus is teaching, understand the scriptures. Open them to us, Lord, as you did on the road to Emmaus. Thank you that he is the one who will testify about Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would empower each one of us to be witnesses for you, to speak to others about all that you've done for us. And as we do that, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be a witness for Jesus in the hearts of those that we're speaking to. Most of all, we pray that more and more people will come to know the wonderful love and saving power of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.